Merry Christmas again, Rio Town. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up to the book of John, and we'll be in chapter 1, starting in verse number 1. If you don't have your Bibles, all right, we're going to have it on the screen just for you. And it says this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." And remember this, that light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Now we'll skip down to verse number 10. "He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the gift the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God." Now, here's what I want to focus on here, this verse right here, verse number 14. You know, as we think about Christmas, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." We'll skip to verse 16. "Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him." It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Yeah, now, if you don't know me, if you get to know me, you'll know that I really love Christmas. I love the whole Christmas season. I mean, just Christmas vibes are just like the best vibes, right? And there's some people that are like Scrooge who don't like Christmas. It's all right. You know, you got that. But I love seeing all the decorations go up. I love all the Christmas music being played in every single store you walk into, you know, and even the snow. I love the snow. I feel like we need snow for Christmas. Amen? Amen. Yes. And if you don't like the snow, move to Texas. All right. But one thing I've noticed, especially over the last couple years, I've been a Christian for a long time, is that there seems to be this group of people that pop up around December every year, and it really grinds my gears, and it's this group of people who have one mission in mind, and their mission is to convince those of us who love to celebrate Christmas, to convince us that celebrating Christmas is actually somehow problematic, that it's actually anti-Christian. Has anyone ever encountered some of these people? Yeah, so typically, if you don't know, these people will say things like Christmas trees are pagan or gift-giving is actually demonic. And some even go as far as claiming that the entire holiday of Christmas is actually just a secret plot to worship false gods. And usually these are the same people that also have, you know, Easter's on their list to holidays they don't like, or, you know, Halloween, don't, God forbid you dress up as Spider-Man for Halloween. And usually, you know, they just think that Christmas is just problematic. And let me be clear, I'm not, you know, I don't want to bash anyone's convictions. That if that's their personal convictions, you know, so be it. I respect it. But while I don't fully agree with most of the things that this group of people say, I will admit that the conversations that they bring up, the conversations that they have, they often lead to something I feel is important, because it actually sparks a deeper question, and one that I feel is important to examine, and it's this question of, what is Christmas actually about? Like why do we celebrate Christmas? And the reason I think this is an important question we should ask ourselves, a question that should be discussed, is because in all honesty, Christmas has become wrapped up in so much cultural noise, right? Like we got the movies and the music and the shopping, and all these things are great. But it can be easy to get caught up in some of these things and lose sight of what we're actually celebrating. I mean, even the story of baby Jesus in a manger, right? Like it's a nice story. People know about it. But why is it significant? Why is it worth celebrating? And this is why I love the intro to John so much, because John gives us this unique perspective on the Christmas story. He, you know, unlike Matthew and Luke, who give us details of shepherds and angels and this clear narrative of the birth of Jesus, John takes a step back and he actually offers us a broader picture, a bird's eye view of this story. Because he doesn't just tell us about the event, he actually focuses on the why, right? On why Jesus coming into the world is such good news. And off the bat, we see in this passage that one of the most powerful ways that John sets this up is by first describing how Jesus is God, right? I mean, he calls Jesus the Word, and he makes it clear that this Word was God and was, in fact, God himself. And then he goes even further and explains that Jesus was present at creation, not just as a bystander, but as a participant through whom all things were created. So in other words, John paints this grand picture of Jesus's divine power and authority. And then he gets to verse number 14. And it is here where John delivers this truth that I believe changes everything, because he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Like the creator of the universe, God himself chose to become human and dwell and live among us. Like God, the God. Like he became flesh and dwelt among us. It's crazy to think about, isn't it? Francis Collins, he was a former atheist, just a genius, right? He's a geneticist. He was actually one of the founders of the Human Genome Project. If you haven't heard of that, go look it up. It's an incredible scientific research project. But he shared how this truth in John, in John 1, had actually radically changed his whole perspective on life. He put it this way. He said, "The most profound truth of Christianity for me was the concept that God in Jesus chose to enter into the human experience, suffering and dying for us. And God being both fully human and fully divine was a truth I had never encountered in any other philosophy or religion." You see, in hearing this truth, the truth that God entered into the human experience, it changed everything for this guy. And honestly, I think it's because this truth is what makes Christianity so different, like he said. Because in almost every other belief system and any other philosophy or religion, you have a God or a higher power who's all powerful, but he stays at a distance. Like, there's always someone offering rules or teachings or a path to follow, but what sets Christianity apart, what makes it different, is the truth that God, our God, didn't stay far off. He didn't stay distant. And instead, he chose to come in close. And in fact, he actually chose to come in close into the mess of our lives, sharing in our pain. And that's what makes this so powerful. Because when John tells us that the Word became flesh, he's not just saying that God entered into the world that he created, the earth that he created. No, he's also saying that God, the creator of the universe, willingly chose to enter the world he created that is now marred and broken by sin. A world that is now filled with suffering and injustice and heartache. And he stepped right into the dirt and mess of the human experience. And what other religion has a God like that? None. And that is why the coming of Jesus, this story is so incredible, because it wasn't just that he came, but it's also how he came, right? Because he came into darkness, into pain, into brokenness, into a world that desperately needed him. And he came to bring hope. You know, this word dwelt that John uses here in this passage, it could also be translated as tabernacled, right? Like it's a play, a reference to Moses and the Exodus story, which we've actually been going through the last couple months. So if you want to hear more about it, you know, come back and see you next week. But you see, in the Old Testament, God's presence would dwell among his people in the form of this temporary tabernacle, this portable structure where God would live among his people. So what John is actually inferring here in this statement is that God is no longer asking his people to create a dwelling for him, because he has now made one for himself through Jesus. And now he is tabernacling among us, among the mess and the reality of humanity. And this is where the gospel becomes so powerful. This Christmas story, because Jesus didn't just come to show us a better way of being more religious or just teach us some rules that we have to follow. No, he came to be the light in the darkness. You see, this light that John describes here in this passage, it's not just some basic kind of light. It's the kind of light that overcomes the deepest darkness. A light that shines through the hardest of circumstances. One that no amount of suffering, no amount of brokenness, no amount of hate can put out. Let's be honest, when we look around the world, like even just in Lansing, you just see darkness. Just look at our neighborhoods, at our schools, in our homes. There's no denying that darkness is all around us. There's gun violence in our streets, right? There's injustices everywhere. There's racism. There's political divide, right? There's poverty and just all kinds of things in this world. There's heartache in families. There's brokenness in relationships. And there's just this heavy weight of sin that creates brokenness in every part of our lives. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that darkness, that weight of sin, it can feel overwhelming. Sometimes it feels like there's no way out. But here's the truth that we can hold on to today. As we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world, that in the middle of all of that brokenness, in all of that darkness, Jesus is the light. He's a light that shines brightest when it feels darkest. He's a light that steps into the mess, into our mess. And Jesus doesn't just walk away from all of the hard stuff. He walks into it. And he brings hope, and he brings salvation, and he brings a redemption and healing with him, and he has the power to transform everything. You see, when John talks about this light shining in the darkness, he's not just speaking in metaphorical terms. He's talking about a real, tangible hope that changes lives. And when you know that kind of light, when you know Jesus as the light of your life, it changes how you see the darkness around you. It gives you hope that no matter what we face, no matter how hard life gets, that Jesus will always shine brighter. So this Christmas, as we think about this story and every day after today, let's just remember what we celebrate, why we celebrate this day. How God stepped into the darkest places in our world, into the brokenness of our lives, and how he brought with him the light of salvation, how he brought with him hope, and that he did all of it because he loves us and because he's the only one who can overcome the darkness that surrounds us. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this gift of Jesus. Man, we're so much darkness, so much sin in this world, so much crazy things happening, and somehow it feels overwhelming at times. And God, I just thank you that you brought this light into the world, that you chose to come down and to save us. God, thank you for the life of Jesus. Thank you that he didn't just stay as a baby, but that he lived out his purpose, and he saved, he put the sins of humanity on his shoulders. I just ask that you just help to remind us this Christmas season why we celebrate you. Even for those of us who may be going through tough times or may have lost someone around this time, help us to remember why we celebrate you. And I saw this in the name of Jesus. Amen.